Diversion Audio.
Rat Race got you down?
Stars, the hottest, biggest
It's September 1990. Goodfellas is on the big screen. The first Pizza Hut opens in China. And in the charts, John Bon Jovi was being shot down in a blaze of glory. Meanwhile, over on NBC, a 21-year-old called Willard Carroll Smith II was debuting his acting skills.
You ain't never gonna change! I'll give you last word! Oh, no, you not! Oh, yes, I am!
Did you talk about news?
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
Oh my God, they killed Kenny!
I am Mark from Mark. No, 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 no.
That's what she said.
Hello, and welcome to the shows we watched with me, Emily Johnston.
And me, James King.
Together, we're celebrating some of the greatest TV shows. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Where are we going with this, Emily? We are getting ready to boom, shake, shake the room. You following? Yes, hopefully. Because this week's show we watched is The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah. It's the sitcom that launched Will Smith as an actor and ran for 148 episodes over six seasons. James, remind us of the setup.
Well, Emily, this was a story all about how Will's life got flipped and upside down. And I'd like to take a minute. Just sit right there. I'll tell you how he became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
I just left you out to dry there, buddy.
Earlier, you said, I'll rap with you. Where were you?
This is too much fun.
It is, of course, the classic culture clash. So Will from West Philly gets into a bit of trouble on the B-ball court, and his mum sends him to live with his rich aunt and uncle in fabulous Bel-Air, fabulous West Los Angeles. We do love a culture clash comedy, don't we, Emily?
There's so many of them. There really are so many of them, in a sort of rags to riches.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. I feel like I kind of go back and forth on what this fascination is.
Is it wishful thinking? Do we all hope that one day we'll get whisked off to go and live with rich relatives and have a fantastic life?
Or is it lesson teaching? Is it this exposure to something that we all think is the grass is always greener?
Yeah.
And so television is able to show us what that grass looks like. And we realize that actually maybe the grass that we think that is greener isn't. It's just astroturf.
Or it's just the same, that however wealthy you are, wherever you live, ultimately, if you're in a family, families will always have similar problems.
Yes. And I think it's something that over the course of cinematic and television history, something we've been obsessed with. For me, I instantly, especially because of the area of the show, I instantly think of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
With this whole idea of coming from nothing into something that's unfamiliar and rich and glitz and glamour. And Will Smith, obviously, he's coming from Philadelphia and it's a very different vibe entirely, but I think it has the same essence to it. And we really get to explore what it's like to come from nothing into something so grandiose and so unfamiliar. And the way that Will sort of trips through it, I think, is indicative of how most of us would in this sort of foreign land, this foreign landscape. And I think that's what makes it so charming and viral and something you just can't get enough of, and why it was so successful and why it ran for so many seasons, because there's never ending storyline there.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, and I think it's fueled by the imaginations of the general public. And I'm sure that there are many people sitting in that writing room who are able to say, well, you know, actually, what would I wonder what it was like to be in Bel-Air?
What drama would be created from this situation?
Yeah.
And actually, all of the, not all of the family, but a lot of the family are a bit stuck up, aren't they? So it seems to come down on the side of Will. He's the down-to-earth guy. He's the lovable guy. He's the one who we see as kind of, in inverted commas, normal and sensible. Whereas his relatives, again, not all of them, but some of them are a bit privileged, a bit entitled, and naive, not really with their 2 feet on the ground.
Yeah, they definitely live in a different world, and it's almost like Will is this new ingredient in the their family recipe that sort of levels them and allows them to realize their own privilege.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's a very beautiful story to tell, actually, of this idea that you have someone that can show you a completely different world. And I think that's what I mean by it being that the green is astroturf, because you start to see where the cracks are, and you start to see very specifically in how families might be different that are wealthy compared to families that feel they're wealthy because they are very tight-knit families.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sort of where Will was coming from, that he came from a very loving, embracing household, and he comes into this household that's quite cold, and the people are all doing their own things, and they all have their own lives and agendas. And I actually was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking about what do we have since Fresh Prince that has been a sort of similar situation, a similar vibe. And I instantly went, and tell me if you disagree, but I instantly went to thinking of Schitt's Creek.
Okay,
and having to be an opposite.
Yeah.
So instead of so it's just that other end of the spectrum, really. And then it's still that fascination of someone who has everything and then has nothing. So I think, I don't know if this is just it must not just be an American fascination, because obviously people in Britain watch these shows and they're obsessed with them, or as obsessed as we are. And I do wonder how you feel. Like, is it that a cultural thing that you guys laugh at Americans that we love these things?
No, not at all. I think it's very much the idea that rich people who think they've got everything and think they've got the perfect life, we kind of like seeing them brought back down to earth with a bump.
Right.
And of course, with Schitt's Creek, actually, we ended up liking the people themselves.
Yeah,
you know, we wanted them to succeed, ultimately.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think certainly in the first couple of episodes, it was quite a thrill to see these entitled people losing it all. And then the flip side with Will is it's that idea of, well, you know, that just because you think your life is a certain way, you never know what might happen. You might end up going somewhere, a new path in your journey might take you somewhere else, and you might have a completely different life, which is what he does.
Yeah.
But ultimately, as you said, the grass isn't greener. And I would much rather be Will than Carlton. I mean, you know,
does anyone ever say they want to be Carlton? Besides that amazing dance that he does.
But you go, if that's the life, if Carlton represents that life, then okay, maybe you've got a fantastic house in Bel Air, but ultimately Will's the cool guy. Will's the one you like.
Yeah, well, that's evident in high school, isn't it? So when they go into school and everyone's gravitating towards Will.
Yeah.
And that and again, is it because he's a shiny new penny, or he's a reality that they've never encountered before? You have so many different elements. And I think actually, I'm sure someone who has more of a focus on human studies or psychology would be able to look into this and see how every different person, depending on where they come from or their experience growing up, would have a different take on this show.
What if you were really rich and you lived in Bel Air?
Right.
And you watched this show and you thought, this is offensive to me. I'm not like Carlton. This isn't like my family.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, obviously, there are very few people like that compared to the masses who aren't like that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what those guys thought of the show.
Why aren't they being heard?
Exactly. Haven't they suffered enough?
We have no idea of the trials of tribulations of Bel Air.
It's interesting that there is that kind of message in Fresh Prince, because ultimately, let's not forget, it's a silly comedy.
It is.
It's a throwaway fun comedy.
Is it though?
I think obviously it's a mix. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it on the show. And I'm about to talk about some of the tougher stuff that it deals with.
Yeah.
But I think what's its genius is that it deals with issues and has a message, but wears it so lightly. And Will's performance especially, and listen, we grew to see that in many movies after Fresh Prince.
Mm.
He can just charm so well.
Mm. I agree.
And in a way, the show can deal with quite heavy stuff, but it never feels heavy. It never feels preachy.
You're right.
Because the writing is great and the performing is great. And obviously had a huge influence. And after this, there were many other shows, sitcoms with rappers starring. You had Queen Latifah doing a show.
In Living Color. Living Single.
Living Single, yeah. In Living Colour was also great, but we'll do that in another episode.
Not Queen Latifah.
Yeah. LL Cool J in the house, he did a show. Eve had her own sitcom as well. So it definitely started a trend in that respect, but I also think it dealt with the issues. For example, I never realised it was this close, but like 6 months after Fresh Prince launched the TV show were the LA riots.
I did not know that.
So they were really close.
Clock that.
So America at this time, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And of course, the Fresh Prince kind of deals, just alludes to these kind of incidents. Mm. Not in a big way, not in a heavy way. But like in the very first episode, you see Will putting up a poster of Malcolm X in his, yep, in his bedroom.
Yep.
And you go, you know, that on a mainstream NBC family comedy.
Mm, it's a big statement.
That's quite a bold statement.
Mm. That's funny you mentioned the riots though, because actually, because I was so young when it, yeah, came out in America, and I think we're, obviously as kids, you know, the riots are going on, but your parent, I think at least my parents probably sheltered me a lot from that. And
yeah,
as you do as parents, you don't want your, you know, kid who doesn't understand anything to be,
well, they sheltered
watching
you from Beavis and Butthead.
Well,
we already
they did.
Know that.
I mean, obviously we know my parents were big shelters.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, my head's just reeling a little bit now that you said, yeah, that.
Well, then in series two, which came out after the riots, then you had that episode, Guess Who's Coming to Marry, where Will's aunt Janice is getting married. And the big reveal, the big gag is that she's getting married to a white guy. And that Will's mum is, it's brilliantly done. Will's mum is against it, you know, mm, and she has all these prejudices about it. And Will isn't like that. He just wants, you know, his auntie to be happy.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's dealing with those issues. It's reflecting things that are going on, reflecting attitudes that are going on and things just in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
But doing it just with this lovely light touch. Doesn't shy away from issues of race, but doing it in its own very kind of cool and cheeky way. And that, yeah, really is what we came to associate with Will Smith, isn't it? You
it's
know,
so
in Men
true.
In Black, in Wild Wild West, all those things.
Yeah.
Again, he's certainly not pretending that he's anything but who he is.
Yeah.
But there's not a preachy element. It's more of a sort of lighthearted element.
Which is actually quite beautiful in how his career progresses. Because I think if you look at him as an actor in that show, again, it's not preachy, but I think he absolutely knows what he's delivering.
Yeah.
And he's doing it with the, you know, the light touch that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And there is a brilliance in that.
First acting role.
That's hard to believe.
It's amazing. And I guess, you know, I've been fascinated by rappers who go into acting quite a lot. And there is this whole thing with hip hop about the sort of your alter ego. And of course, he's Will Smith, but he became the Fresh Prince. That was his rap personality. And
yeah,
Eminem has, or Marshall Mathers has Eminem and Slim Shady. So, you know, you do have a kind of alter ego. You do act really often as a rapper anyway.
Yeah.
But it's still very different from performing in a song to performing in an actual sitcom or performing in a movie.
Can I ask you about that actually? Because I did wonder why he would use his actual name. And again, my cynical brain was thinking, is he doing that because he doesn't know where this is going and he wants to make sure his music can still be highlighted through it so that if this doesn't work out, you know, the name's out there and people will remember to, I was about to say download his music, buy his records. And I did wonder, because obviously that's a big thing and also to get the producers to agree to just let you use your name. So you're not really, you are a character, but you're sort of a character of yourself.
Use your name as in Fresh Prince or Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it plays into the authenticity of it. And one of the things we loved about Will pre this show, when he was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, was they just felt like very authentic teenagers, your friends, rapping about parents and rapping about, you know, parties and things like that.
Yeah.
So I guess it does play into that authenticity, and it's a very authentic performance. It does feel like it's him with no, just him being honest, you know, being honest about who he is and the kind of life he leads. So I think, and there are several sitcoms, aren't there, over the years where people have played characters who have the same name as you know, who they are. Ellen, for example, and things like that. You know, they played people with those names, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. But it just, I was curious as to what your take would be on that. So,
I think that part of the joy of Fresh Prince for me in the show is that it feels authentic and real. I mean, the sets aren't great. The storylines, a lot of the storylines of, you know, they're very fluffy. They're the 22-minute shows.
It's very indicative of the time.
Very indicative of the time.
Yeah.
But what has lasted is the authenticity of that performance at the centre of it. And he really made that.
Agree.
You are listening to The Shows We Watched. More Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on the way. And Tatiana Ali started in the show when she was just 11 years old, playing Will's cousin, Ashley. I love their relationship.
I know.
So good. Have you ever wondered what she's up to now? The answer's coming. Oh, you have? Well, perfect. The answer's coming up.
The Shows We Watched with Emily Johnston.
And me, James King, talking all things Fresh Prince of Bel-Air today. As I said earlier, I love that relationship between Will and his young cousin, Ashley. Big brother figure, almost a father figure sometimes. Obviously, she has her own father, but very close. And it changes over the years because she's essentially growing up on screen, isn't she, Tatiana Ali? But Will is always there to help in his inimitable style. And then, of course, Tatiana had a music career. Will helped out with her getting into music, and we see the sort of beginnings of her as a music star in the final season of Fresh Prince. She then did 6 years on The Young and the Restless. I know one of your favourites, Emily.
I was more a General Hospital person.
But we'll do both of those in future series. Don't fret anybody. We'll be covering those. Most impressively, she's now a Harvard scholar, Tatiana Ali. She studied politics at Harvard. She married a professor of English at Stanford with the amazing name of Dr. Vaughan Raspberry.
No, she's Tatiana Raspberry.
I mean, not professionally, but in her private life.
On her passport.
Or Tatiana Raspberry Ali. Who knows?
Wow. Or maybe he took her name because he didn't want to be a raspberry anymore.
Yeah. But now she also combines that. I love this combination of that sort of academic side with making a lot of Christmas movies for Hallmark and Lifetime.
You gotta do what you
gotta do. It's like the perfect combination, really, isn't it? That sounds like a pretty sweet life to me. So Tatiana Ali started off very young in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, still going strong.
Good for her. I'm glad to hear that, actually.
Tell me about Will's auntie in the show, Emily. Ooh, because there were a couple, weren't there?
There were two.
There were two actors who played that role. I think one did a couple of seasons and then...
She did. I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah, she played, I think, two seasons. So it was Janet Hubbard who was the first Aunt Viv.
Right.
And I think this is always an interesting thing in television shows because obviously there's a number of reasons someone might leave a show.
Yeah.
And if you're a show that's going for 10 years, 14 years or whatever, you see these kind of character changes all the time.
Yeah. Sometimes they joke about them on the show, don't they?
Do.
I remember Roseanne making jokes.
Yes.
Was it Becky who changed or Darlene? I can't remember. But one of them changed,
Becky.
And they made jokes about the fact that Becky changed. And then the original Becky came back, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, God, I don't think I watched it long enough.
I can't remember for sure, but there were definitely made reference to it.
I think that's kind of cheeky and nice, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't feel like this situation was very nice.
Right.
So I don't know if jokes would have been appropriate.
Right. So she left for darker reasons.
Well, it's that's up for debate.
Right.
And of course, there's been a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air celebration and a reunion, and the original Aunt Viv has come back and for years, she was doing the press circuit saying very nasty things about our lovely Will Smith.
I mean,
lovely, touching, caring Will Smith.
What nasty things has Will Smith ever done, eh?
Nothing ever.
Nothing controversial.
He didn't even hurt an ant.
No, absolutely not. He's never hit the headlines for anything bad, has he?
Never hit the headlines.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Funny you should say the word hit there.
He's never slapped the headlines.
Are we going to get on to that?
We'll move away from that. People
we'll
know
back.
What we're talking
we'll
about.
Back.
Yeah, we're celebrating the Fresh Prince.
Well, the whole thing basically was that she was calling him very, what's the polite way? I'm not going to say the word, but she was saying not very pleasant things to him, about him to the press.
Okay.
Saying that he had ruined her career and and that was what she was saying outside of the reunion and leading up to the reunion, and they didn't see each other after she left. And then at the reunion, they sat, I mean, obviously this makes for great television because everybody knew about the Aunt Viv controversy, and it's been in the papers everywhere back in the day when we had papers. and obviously it was brought up for the reunion, and then I think probably the producers went, well, what's the best way to get some good viewership? Let's get Aunt Viv back on here.
The original Aunt Viv returns.
Yeah. So they had them sit down together, and she basically said, I was going through some really hard times. And Will said, I was a really young kid and I didn't know it, and I wouldn't have known because I was a young, arrogant brat.
Yeah.
And they had this beautiful PR dreamy moment. And it's one of those things where you kind of scratch your head and go, especially, I guess, if you work in the industry and you think how much of this is put on for ratings and TV and to make us all have a nice heartwarming feeling about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and how much is just complete garbage. So
but essentially, she was saying that she had personal problems at the time, which may have affected her professionalism.
Yeah, her activity on set.
Yeah, and that's why she was given the push. That's why she went. And Will at the time didn't appreciate that because he was too young to appreciate a middle-aged woman and the issues she might have.
But it gets even more complicated because then there's rumors that she left, and then there's other rumors that Will fired her.
Right,
and
okay.
So it's just this huge controversy around. And actually, really, I think that's the only controversy that the show has.
Yeah.
Is this idea that this character left. It wasn't the greatest of circumstances. This new lady came in, who all of us grew up with even more and learned to love as the new Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
And I guess if you were young enough, you'd probably be like, it's another Aunt Viv, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Which I was. I didn't.
It's not like replacing Will, is it? I mean, it's.
No,
you know.
I mean, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Or any of the. Well, I mean, it is tough because Aunt Viv did play a huge role.
I think all the supporting actors are really good.
Yeah,
actually.
And they're very crucial to this, to pretty much every storyline.
Yeah. I love Uncle Phil. I mean, Uncle Phil's no longer with us, unfortunately, and so wasn't around for the reunion
Which
show,
so
was he?
Sad.
But just brilliant.
It's
brilliant performance. But I want to shout out to Jeffrey as well.
Of course, you're going to shout out the butler.
Yeah, shout out the Brit. Jeffrey the butler, whose name is Jeffrey Butler in the show. That's what he's down as.
Like, that's his, just not Jeffrey the
name.
Butler, just Jeffrey Butler.
Well, Jeffrey the butler, whose last name is Butler.
How is that even? Do you think it's Asian? Well, let's do something really fun today. Change your name.
But I think what's so genius about him is that, and I'll get on to butlers in TV shows and movies in a second, is that he has an edge to him, doesn't he?
He does.
And in the way, of course, he's the traditional British butler who is there to serve and to make sure everything goes well and properly, and is a very proper character. But he also has a side to him, and you also see the mask come off sometimes when he's annoyed. There's a great one in season two, where the family are going to the People's Choice Awards. Mm. And Jeffrey thinks he's going, and then he's not at the last minute.
Yeah.
And he's really annoyed.
Yeah.
And he gets brilliantly bitchy about the fact that he's not going to the People's Choice Awards. And when he's serving the family, just like dropping the food on their plates, because he's like, why should I be nice to you? And just the one-liners he has are wonderful. Miss Hillary, the day you do anything for yourself will be the day I square dance naked on the White House lawn. Which is a lovely image. But there's never too much of him. And this is the clever way that the producers and the director and the writers dealt with Jeffrey, is that he wanders in as a butler, does his butling, and then goes out again, you know, and he can kind of steal the scene with just a couple of lines, but we don't have too much of him.
Is that an official verb?
It is now. And because you could overkill, right?
Yeah.
You could think, oh, he's a popular sporting character. Let's have more of him.
Yeah.
But actually, I think that he's used very carefully to come in, do his thing, get some laughs, and then go off again. You just get a little seasoning of him. Joseph Marcel is now. He's still about 74 years old. So he was only 42 when he started that show.
Oh, God, he was my age.
Know,
and I thought he was like 65.
I know. I thought he was like a really, really old man. But British actor, very experienced actor, Shakespearean actor.
I could see that.
But I love the fact that he went to the States and had this amazing career in the States.
Did he do anything afterwards?
He's been in loads of things and is still in loads of things.
Okay.
But obviously that's the big role. That's the role that everyone still remembers him for. And a magnificent performance, I think, from Joseph Marcel as Jeffrey the butler. Just shout out to some other butlers I was thinking of. Obviously, Alfred in Batman. Yeah. There's been a number of British actors, normally British, playing butlers. John Gielgud in Arthur is a very famous butler from pop culture. Lurch in the Addams Family. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's a butler, but obviously not traditional.
Yeah.
Do you remember Soap? Do you remember that show, Soap? Benson, the butler in Soap?
No.
Big star. This was before your time, but big star in the late 70s. But has that thing. I mean, Jeeves and Worcester, if you know your British, your English literature, yeah. Jeeves and Worcester, the P.G. Woodhouse stuff.
Yeah.
That's sort of the archetypal butler and master, where the butler is way more capable of stuff than the actual...
Like Billy
employer.
Madison's butler.
Exactly.
Who was
yeah.
Billy Madison's butler? Do you remember who that was?
Didn't he have a butler in Mr. Deeds as well?
Yes.
Yeah. But that was John Turturro, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. But the one that he had, I feel like he was Brazilian or something, wasn't he?
Long time since I've seen Madison. I'm more of a Happy Gilmore guy.
Billy Madison was definitely a British butler.
Right.
And I just, when you were talking about the peers, for the butler no more than the...
Yeah, that's the gag, isn't it? That's the gag with butlers. And it's the same with Jeffrey in The Fresh Prince. They're really the ones in control rather than the family who might be a bit in the clouds. So shout out to Joseph Marcel, magnificent performance. And a magnificent performance, as always, Emily. Lovely to speak to you again.
You too, James. Thank you. If you'd like to send us an email, a voicemail, a comment, an idea for the show, or just want to say hi, our email address is theshowswewatched@gmail.com. That's theshowswewatched@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and may use your message in a future show.
And of course, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just look up Diversion Pods. And that's because The Show We Watched is a production of Diversion Audio.
This season was written, researched, and hosted by us, Emily Johnston and James King.
And our supervising producer and sound mixer is Mark Francis, based on a concept by John Tuttle.
And our head of marketing is Erica Farmer, and the original theme music is by Tyler Cash.
Love that theme music. The Shows We Watch was recorded where we are right now, Vox Pod Studios in London, England, and executive produced by Jacob Bronstein, Mark Francis, and Scott Waxman for Diversion Audio.
Cheerio.
That's very English there. Cheerio. Toodle pip.
Toodle pip.
Yeah, don't you know that one?
No.
Oh, that's a new one.
It's a new one.
No, not new one. It's an old phrase, but it's a new one to you.
I was like, that sounds proper.
No, it's like sort of 50s. Toodle pip.
Diversion Audio.